Tonight I'd like to read in chapter 31 of the book of Jeremiah, the first few verses here, and just kind of use it as a springboard. The Bible said, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built. O virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for these precious people that have gathered on this cold night in November around the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd warm our spirits, warm our hearts. Help us, our Father, to have a heart for your people. God, you've not cast off your people. Some may think you have, but Lord, they've not read the Bible. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'll help us to glean truth that will, Lord, just help us to stand with your precious people, Israel, till you come and take us home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We'll get me a little sip of water here. Why every Christian should stand for and pray with, or pray for and stand with Israel. Sometimes the Lord has a way of just making me feel about that tall. And I got to listening the last few days, and I kept hearing a word. And honest, I felt about that tall because I didn't understand. I didn't know what the word meant. But in today's society, you can look anything up and find out what it means. Amen. And the word was apartheid. How many of you all know, have a good background, a good definition of what that word means? You know what it means. Would you raise your hand? So there's a bunch of us little people in here then, ain't they? Amen. Well, the squad, you know who the squad is, don't you? They're using it against the people of Israel. And so I had to find out, what are they talking about? I had a pretty good idea if they was accusing them of being apartheid, that probably wasn't good, amen, because all you have to do is look where they stand with Hamas. Say amen. Look where they stand, and you'll find out that they're not on the side of the people of Israel. This word come about because of what happened in the Republic of South Africa. It is a rigid former policy of segregating and economically and politically oppressing the non-white population. That's what went on in South Africa. Any system or practice that separates people according to color, ethnicity, caste, etc. That's what apartheid is. I didn't know, and I thought I should have known. But evidently it's not something that, you know, is commonly known today. And so that's what they're accusing the people of Israel of. But let me give you something to think about tonight. The Jewish people, their citizenship in Israel, I should say it like that. The citizenship of Israel is 20% Arab. Is anybody with me tonight? 20% Arab. There are Arabs that even have come out of Palestine. Now you might not like what I'm going to say tonight. Some of them sodomites, because they'll get killed if they stay in Gaza. But there's a democracy in Israel, like there is in America. They at least can go over there and live. And so some people don't want to live under Hamas, and they can become a citizen. Are you listening? in Israel. Now, 20% of Israel is made up of Arabs. Would somebody want to guess what the percentage of Jews in Gaza is? How about this? 0.000. So if there's an apartheid somewhere, it's the other way around. Isn't that the way it usually is with that bunch? Say amen. Just the opposite of what they're saying. And so tonight, we need to understand that really Israel left Gaza and they gave it to the Palestinian people. But that's not enough. Let me say something to you tonight. They don't only want the land that God gave to Abraham. They want the throats of every Jew. You better just wake up, amen. They want them dead. They want them gone. They want them wiped off the face of the map. Now, let me give you another little hint. When they go through the streets, it's not just death to Israel, but it's death to America. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We better wake up in this country that we live in. I would to God that some way or another, it's supposed to be this way. When you take office in the United States of America, you are supposed to swear an oath to the loyalty of the Constitution of the United States of America. But I'm telling you something, beloved. We've got some in Washington, D.C. that are far, far from that flag. Far, far from the Constitution that you and I love in this country. Now, that's just by way of introduction. I'm wanting you to understand that we're Christians. We love Jesus. We're not just Christian in name. We've been born again. Somebody raise your hand and say amen. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I got more in church membership. I got more in a baptism. I don't even have a baptism certificate. I have a hard time when they want me to find my preaching license. Amen. I don't even know where it's at half the time. Hallelujah. I know Jesus. Amen. I know I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm heaven bound. I'm talking about real Christians. Blood bought. The Church of the Living God has no business ever standing against the people of Israel, against the Jewish people. That's coming into our colleges. We're eat up with professors. I'm telling you, sometimes I come across wrong. I'm not against education. But education that takes people away from God, I'm against it. Amen. Education that will cause you to burn that flag over there, I'm against it. Amen. Education that would cause you to turn your back on this Bible, the Creator of heaven and earth, I'm against it. Amen. Education that can't believe there's a miracle working God that created the heavens and the earth, so he can make the dry land, the sea dry land, let the children of Israel cross on if he wants to. They don't believe that a great fish or a whale, whichever you please, the Bible speaks both ways about it, can swallow a man. 3 days later, he can be spit out on the shore. Somebody said, do you really believe that? I said, if God would have said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd have believed that. If God said it, I'd have believed it. Amen. I don't have any trouble like that. Do you? Let me get on with the message tonight. Why every Christian should pray for and stand with Israel. Number one, because our God, listen carefully, loves Israel. That word is not L-O-V-E-D as in a past tense. But our God loves Israel. The Bible said here, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Can I say something to you tonight? The children of Israel's love for God has changed down through history. But God's love for the children of Israel is eternal, everlasting. It's never changed for His people. Before we get done tonight, I believe you're going to say amen. You're going to see it in black and white right in front of your eyes in this precious old book we call the Bible. Somebody might say, well, how can God love a sinful nation like Israel? Well, if you're going to ask a question like that, why don't you look in the mirror? Why don't you ask yourself how God could love a sinner like you? You see, the Bible didn't wait. God didn't wait on us to get saved to start loving us. He didn't wait on us to obey Him. The Bible said God commendeth His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God has this special knack, and I wish I had more of it, of seeing a person not so much for what they are, but for what they can be. Just come by Calvary and get you a good bath in the blood of Jesus. Wash you, pick you up, use you, do something with your life. That's what our God sees. You see, many people think Israel's done. If you think Israel's done, you ain't read this book. Honey, to be honest with you, Brother Junior, she ain't even got started yet. Amen. But she's fixing to. We're talking about God's love for Israel. How many believes we ought to love what God loves? Amen. That's why we visit. God loves sinners. Amen. I appreciate that, don't you? I believe that. Our God still loves people. Secondly, tonight, we ought to, just got three things. I won't be long. Well, I shouldn't say that. But anyway, secondly tonight, not only does our God love Israel, but the second reason that we ought to pray for and stand with Israel is because we owe it to Israel. We have a debt to the Jewish people. You say, now, Pastor, I don't understand that. We're Gentiles. Well, when I get done, you'll understand. Where'd you get your Bible? Where'd you get your Bible? Where'd we get our Savior? Anybody following me? You see, we owe a lot to Israel. We're indebted to them, a huge debt of gratitude. In Romans chapter 9 and verse number 4, the Bible said, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, what's this now, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. I read this. I really never thought about it because I've never thought about arguing against the fact that we ought to be debtors to the Jewish people. But some say that, you know, yes, Jesus had a Jewish mother, and they even believe that God was his father, that he was born of a virgin the way that the Bible said. But they said after the resurrection, he has a glorified body, so he no longer identifies as a Jew. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to send out a rocket this morning and blow that mess plumb out of the water. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, listen. In Revelation chapter 5 and 5, now that's way after the resurrection. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's still identifying with the Jewish people. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's not enough. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Revelation 22 and 16, God's just closing the book down. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I'm going to be. He said I am. The root and the offspring of David. And the bright and the morning star. Wait a minute now. Here's Jesus closing the book down, the book of Revelation. He wants us to remember that his great-great-great-grandfather, David, was a Jewish king from Jerusalem. Amen. Well, let me say this to you. If Jesus is closing the book down and he puts that in there, I think he wants you and I to remember that too. Say amen. We owe a debt. We got our Savior through the Jewish bloodline. Our Bible was written by Jewish authors. We know that, I'm talking about on the human side, we know that the Spirit of God, holy men of old, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We know that. I learned years ago. And when you come across a problem text, most of the time you can look in every commentary coming and going. You know what they do? They skip it. If you want to know something, why don't you just get on your knees and talk to the author? Amen. And if he don't want you to know it, you don't need to know it. Amen. Thank God for our Bible. Jesus told the woman at the well. Does anybody remember this? I think a lot of America has forgotten this. Even a lot of the church, Brother Houston, has forgotten this. Here's what Jesus told the woman at the well. Salvation is of the Jews. You say, I don't like that. I love it. I understand my Bible. Say amen. I understand that we're talking about a people that's the apple of God's eye. He ain't forgot about them. Amen. I'm going to read some scripture after a while. It'll blow your mind. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. He said, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. This is Paul. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. Did y'all see that? If the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, then it's our duty to minister to them. You've got people crying the blues because we're sending money over there to help them people fight that war. Dear God, we've wasted more money in that in 30 seconds in America. I thought all the rats was in the laboratory on the treadmill, but now I'm wondering. I better leave that alone. I believe there's some in other places on treadmills too, amen? And they're not on four legs. We owe it to Israel. We have a huge debt of gratitude. Why should every Christian, why should we pray for and stand with Israel? Number one, because God loves Israel. Number two, because we owe it to Israel to love them. Then number three, we'll park here for just a little while. Here's why. Because our God is a covenant-keeping God. God doesn't make a covenant and then break it. God has made a covenant with Israel. God has also made a covenant with you and I. In Jeremiah 31 and chapter 31, or verse 31, the Bible said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They broke it.
although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. You understand, this is all still future. It's prophecy. It hasn't happened. Please make big letters right here, Y-E-T, yet. Jesus hasn't come yet either, but He's coming. What we're talking about here hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. Watch what the Bible said. The Bible said, they break, although I was a husband unto them, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts. I'll write it in their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to me. Thank God Almighty. Those are the same words He used in Revelation chapter 21 of the church. I'm not saying Israel's a church or the church is Israel, but He loves them just as much as He loves you and I. He said, I'll put my love in their inward parts. I'll write it in their hearts. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall, look at this, they shall all know me. There's a scripture that says, and so all Israel shall be saved. I'll show it to you in a little bit. Watch this. He said, they'll know, they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you've got something down in your heart, again, the people of Israel, you're in trouble with God. God made a covenant with them, and He's going to keep it. Genesis chapter number 12. You say, how in the world does this have anything to do with us? Watch this. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. Mark her down, honey. God ain't never going to change right there. I'll bless them that bless thee. He said, I'll curse him which curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families. Is there any families in the house tonight that's been blessed because of what God's done through His people Israel? We wouldn't have a Savior without them. We wouldn't have a Bible without them. We wouldn't have a hope of heaven without them. Oh, beloved friend, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. These little babies around here, children's church over yonder, children's church over yonder, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, they're being taught about Moses. They're being taught about Abraham. They're being taught about Isaac. They're being taught about David. And they're being taught, beloved, that there's a Savior named Jesus that come into this world to give His life for you and for me, for our little ones. He's a covenant-keeping God. Psalm 122 and 6 said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. If a nation, America, wants to prosper, honey, I don't know how it's going to iron out. They've got one guy right now up on charges, federal charges, and he's looking at 5 years. I hope he gets every day of it. That's the only way you're going to nip this stuff in the bud. You're going to have to start making an example out of these people. And yes, there's some in the House of Representatives that ought to be set in the street. If they don't want to be set straight, they ought to be set in the street. They got no place. And the reason it's happened is because of communities that are predominantly Muslim. You You say, Pastor, they're peace-loving people. You better study their book. Actually, you better not study their book. Just keep studying the Bible. But I tell you, let me tell you what we are in their book. Okay, I'm just going to tell you what we are, Brother Mike. We're infidels. That's what we are in their book. We're in the way. We got no reason to exist, no right to exist in their book. And neither do the Jewish people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Boy, God, give me a thought right here. I don't know why I never thought about it before, but it's a good thought. Romans chapter number 11. I say then, I'm going to read it. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Paul said, God forbid. Now, Paul's trying to get a point across when he uses those two words, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. In East Tennessee, we'd say, have you got any sense at all? God forbid. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Where would the church be without Paul? I know God could have used a donkey, but he didn't. He used the Apostle Paul to write the doctrine for the church of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. What? Ye not? What the scripture said of Elias or Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. What God's trying to tell us here is that there's a nation within a nation. Not all of them, beloved, are going the way of Baal. And even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should see not, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. There he goes again. But rather through their salvation, or through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. This ought to be shouting ground for the church of the living God. But so many in this country, through their fall, want to step on them. God ain't done with them. Let's read on. Through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? See, God ain't done with them. He's fixing to fill them up. Watch what he said. For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I might provoke you to emulation, them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. You remember Paul's the one that said, I would that I myself could be accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. How does Romans chapter 10 start? Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, going about, beloved, to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. But they will one day. Watch this.
Where's that? Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Honey, it's going to be miraculous. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded. God said, don't you be puffed up and full of pride. Because, beloved, He took the wild. That was us. And He grafted us in to the good tree, the olive tree. That was Israel. Watch this now. If you were a farmer tonight, you would never, never, never even think about taking something that's wild and grafting it into something that's good. You would take something that's good and graft it into something that's wild. Is anybody following me right there? I never had seen that before. You wouldn't do it. You say, well, preacher, what in the world's God doing? He's showing us how much we owe Him. He's showing us, beloved, you remember what the Gentiles were before Christ? D-O-G-S, dogs. Maybe we ought to put up a sign out there that says kennel. Saved puppies. Amen. Watch what he said here. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. For if God, look in verse 21, spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare thee not. We got no reason to brag and boast. Behold, therefore the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And if they also abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I'm going to get down to this last verse of Scripture here in a minute in this chapter. But it don't matter who you are, I don't believe. I believe I was talking to Brother Don, and he was sitting right there. He'd say, preacher, a whole lot of stuff in this chapter way over my head. Somebody home, amen? Yeah. And it's supposed to be that way. I'll show it to you in a minute. The Bible said, if thou wilt cut off out of the old olive tree, wild by nature, were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted in to their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Look at this word, until. What's that mean? That means they ain't going to be blind forever. That means one day, Brother Dale, the church is going to be complete. The fullness of the Gentiles, it's going to be full. The church is going to be complete. And God's going to say, come on home, youngins. Come up here. And when He does, He's going to turn again to this precious people until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I mean, he's glad the Deliverer's come and the Deliverer's coming again. And the Deliverer's coming again after that. He's coming for the church. But then, thank God, He's coming with the church. Or maybe I should say, the church is coming with Him. Watch this. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed. But through your mercy, they shall also obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon, I love that word,
all. And then look at verse 33. This is what, if you don't get anything else out of this chapter, get this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. You say, I can explain it all. Good for you. Amen. I can't explain it all, but thank God I can believe it all. Amen. God's not done with Israel. And because He's made a covenant with His people, we ought to pray for them. And we ought to support them. Amen. The Bible said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? That'd be a good question for Job, wouldn't it? Amen. Oh, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'll finish up. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 20. And when they entered in unto the heathen, whither they went, the Bible said, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of this land. But I had pity. Watch why I had pity. For mine holy name. Everything I've read to you tonight, you want to know what's on the line? The name of our God. You say, Pastor, how can you stand with such confidence? Because the name of my Heavenly Father is on the line. When He makes a covenant, honey, He's going to keep it. His name's on the line. His name is on the line. You can remember when people, beloved, you didn't have to have a contract 10 pages long. You could shake hands with somebody and make a deal because they had good names. And they'd rather die than have their name smeared. Our God said His name. He said, for my name, I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore said, say unto the house of Israel, this is what God's telling Ezekiel to tell them, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sakes, house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. And they're going to realize that. Brother Larry, I believe there's going to be a humility that they've never known. When they realize in the middle of the tribulation that they've been snookered. And that their Messiah has already come, has already died, was already buried, has already risen from the dead. The blinders come off. And so all Israel shall be saved. What a blessing. What a blessing. The Bible said, which have profaned among the heathen, whether you win, He said in verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. And a new heart will I give to you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn and will increase it. lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, and you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves. By the way, that's when a man gets saved, when he loathes himself, when he hates his sin, when he hates what he's looking at in the mirror. When, as Brother Mitchell said, takes God's sides with God against himself. That's what's going to happen to the people of Israel. They're going to hate what they've done to the Savior. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, your doings that were not good. You'll loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Here it comes again. I'm almost done. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. God's going to do it, but not for their sake. For His own name's sake. Because He said He would. Well, I've not been thorough by any means, but I believe I've given us enough to know that we ought to pray for and support the nation of Israel. The apple of God's eye. I believe when we came in tonight, every one of us knew that we should, and we do. But what's put in my heart for Pastor and his people to know why we do. It's pleasing to God. Amen. It's pleasing to God. He came into His own. His own received Him not. Thank God Almighty. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I don't know if I could quote the next verse, but they're born not of blood and not of the will of the flesh, but they're born of God. Beloved, I'll tell you something tonight. I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I have no hatred in my heart. Now listen to me, you may not understand me tonight. I have no hatred in my heart for the Jews. I have no hatred in my heart for the Muslims. I hate sin. But I've actually preached to men in prison that used to be a Muslim. And they came to know Jesus. Nationally, I don't think it'll ever happen. But individually, we just got to keep sharing the gospel and leave the results up to God. There's sins that I hate, but I don't hate the sinner. God hates sin in my life, your life, anybody's life. But thank God, He loves us. And He loves the sinner tonight. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?